Blog Talk Radio.
Deutschland!
Yes, Sieg, Kyle. Welcome to Renegade Broadcasting. Thanks so much for tuning in this Sunday evening. This is a special show, a couple hours later than it's usually done, because it has fun. We'll do shows. So I talked to Siegfried, and we decided we'd get on air for, perhaps an hour or so. We'll let you guys have some live radio. Of course, I have my own show coming up tomorrow, so please do tune into that. I'm going to discuss some areas of white slavery throughout the years. Also going to be talking about some of the people who have died because or been imprisoned. Some real heroes, inspirations. I'll begin to like David Lane. Might be discussing more a bit. So it should be a jam-packed show, especially as there might be a few people who will be joining the show to discuss a variety of things. As always, 2 hours probably won't be enough to get in there, but it's better than having too little. So waiting for Fried to finish whatever he's doing and stop being a prima donna and get with the program here. He had a good show this past Friday. I suggest check it out. I really like when he puts together his own material. The different written pieces he has in some of the poems are very original, and really some of the things that can help inspire others. I know that quite a few people out there, particularly over at Turnus and Archangel, have really been inspired by all different archives of Dr. William Pierce. Yeah, he's really able to pierce through the issues quite well with his words. And he should serve as inspiration to many. In what he was doing at the time, it was not all that popular. Of course, he was something of a vanguard, really helping pioneer this kind of information age in which we're currently living. His own type of renegade broadcasting. And this should go to show that even if work does not have the impact we would like it to have in our own lifetimes, it will reverberate for ages to come. And he knew this rather well. But the dance deed. Oh, so, quick question that the victim came up with an SS.
SS, my dear, ich feinde Land und sing ein Teufelslied. Ein Pfosten steht am Oderstand und leise summt er mit. Wir pfeifen nach unten, nach oben und uns kann die ganze Welt verfluchen oder auch loben, grad wie es ihr wohl gefällt. Wo wir sind, da ist immer vorne und der Teufel hat nur das Gut. Ha, 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 wir kämpfen für Deutschland, wir kämpfen für Hitler, der Gegner kommt nicht mehr zurück.
All right, it seems that my own audio is experiencing some difficulties right now. As chat, can you hear me better now? Or let it in and out? Just let me know, because I would like to reconnect if that is the case. And I'm waiting to read here. Okay, I'm going to go to audio from Dr. William Pierce and be back in just a little bit.
The wonderful gift of life that we have. What does it mean? What is its real value? Is it simply a collection of sensations, of feelings that we get as spectators? I'm sure that for many people, that's what life is. The more pleasurable their collection of sensations, the more pleasant their feelings, the more enjoyable the things they see as spectators, the better their life is. And that's understandable. That's what life always has been for animals. And we are animals. We are creatures of instinct. And our instincts tell us to survive, to find food, to seek shelter, to reproduce, to avoid danger. In a prosperous, civilized society, the drive to satisfy these basic needs expresses itself as a quest for wealth, for enjoyment, for comfort. 1,000 years ago, our ancestors also sought wealth, enjoyment, and comfort. But they didn't believe that these things were quite as important as most people today think they are. In that age before television, people were perhaps a little closer to the earth, and they were a little more aware of just how temporary an individual's life is. And they reached out for things with a little more permanence, things beyond wealth and comfort and pleasure, things which to them seemed to have more real meaning. I remember a few lines of poetry which expressed this feeling among our ancestors in Scandinavia and more generally in the Germanic parts of Europe back during the Viking Age. Those lines are, "Cattle die and kinsmen die, and so must one die oneself. But there is one thing I know which never dies, and that is the fame of a dead man's deeds." For our ancestors 1,000 years ago, of course, cattle were wealth and kinsmen were power. And though they sought these things just as we do today, they understood that they were transitory. The value of these things was not permanent. The only thing that is permanent is the mark that one makes on the world with one's deeds. Everyone wants to live well, of course, but it is better to live effectively, to live so that one is remembered for what one has accomplished. And to put a little finer edge on the concept, it is not just fame in itself which is important. What counts also is the type of fame, the type of renown. The goal was to be remembered not just for being able to throw a spear farther than others, or to swing a battle axe harder, or to use a sword more skillfully. It was to be remembered for having lived a meaningful life, a significant life. For some, that meant a life of accomplishment, of changing the world. For others, it meant a life lived as closely as possible in accord with the ideals of personal honor and of service to one's people, so that one's life could be held up as a model and remembered as such. In any case, the life that had lasting value was a life of participation, never a life of sitting on one's hands and playing it safe. Perhaps too much television and too much comfort have caused us to lose sight of this very important thing which our ancestors understood. I think that they saw their individual lives more clearly in the larger context of the ongoing life of the race than we do. They were on more familiar terms with birth and with death than we are, and were not as likely as we are to slip into the folly of believing that they would live forever. And so, being constantly aware of the reality and inevitability of death, they were more concerned than we are to use their lives effectively and to give lasting meaning to them. For those of us today who do want to participate in life, who want to live significant lives. There is no more significant activity in which to participate than working to assure a healthy future for our people, for our European race. And there is almost no limit to the ways in which you can participate in this activity. Whether you're a housewife, or a computer scientist, or a machinist, or a secretary, or a bulldozer operator, or a law enforcement officer, or a teacher, or a writer, or an artist, you can participate. The only reason that a rabble of feminists and queers and Jews and blacks and mestizos and liberals and Clinton supporters are running America into the ground today is that decent people are sitting on their hands. If the decent people in America would get off their hands and accept personal responsibility for what is being done to their world, and if they would make a commitment and begin working together, we could sweep the whole Clinton coalition into the dustbin of history. It doesn't matter that the Clinton rabble outnumber us. We will whip them in a minute. We will have the media bosses jumping into the ocean all along the East Coast and swimming toward Israel as fast as they can go. But first, we must be willing to accept personal responsibility. And so, my message today to every decent person who is listening is this. Don't be a shirker. Don't try to be a smart guy by continuing to cheer from the sidelines, but refusing to join the team and get out on the field. Stand up and become a participant in life. Make of your life a model that people will remember and talk about long after you're gone.
All right. Great video there by Dr. William Pierce. Hopefully my audio is coming through a little bit better now than it was before. I should have Siegfried here with me on the line.
Yes, sir. How are you? Your audio is fine, by the way, to me.
Okay. Great. Great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining me here this impromptu Sunday night show. How's everything been going for you, Siegfried?
Not too bad. How about you, Kyle?
It could be better. It could always be better, especially in this world in which
yes.
we're living. But there are many things, sometimes small things, that give me hope, that inspire me to keep going, to kind of give some feedback, to let us know that what we're doing is not in vain, that it is having effect. And that's what they don't want to see happening. They want us completely marginalized.
Or sticking to the playbooks, the
right.
book. Okay.
Well, that and the other playbooks that people have devised out there to, to, as they say, effectively get across their message. But when you're stuck in a box that way, you're really not able to be too innovative. Dr. William Pierce, he was talking about getting out in the field, to really stop cheering from the sidelines. And let's go with this metaphor. When you're out there on the field, the game is always changing. Let's say it's football. The defense is shifting itself. The offense is calling plays based upon where they are in the field. Yes, there is something of a playbook. I was hearing some music there.
Nope.
Okay, it must be one of these tabs I have opened. Yeah, it was it was an ad. Sorry.
That's right.
Yeah. So we have some plays. We have some kind of organization, but I think to keep it agile, to be able to go on the fly and do things is a much better way to go about it. At least in my opinion, and some people are effective with their kind of standard routines and mantras and things, but I think if you kind of go with the blitzkrieg idea and just hit them with everything from all different angles, that is really going to be what it decimates their line. And they keep trying to send in their support to hold the line, but we've already blown past it, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. I agree.
Anything that you have noticed yourself that has given you any kind of hope that this is really catching on, that you know they're having to respond to what we're doing?
Well, besides for the cultural stuff, you know, the Vikings show and the Thor movie with all the gods in there, just to satiate the Oiropids' inner desires, whether they recognize them or not, they have these native sort of desires that come from Europe that are centuries, millennia old, and also that the fact that they keep fueling the insanity, they don't stop creating outrages among our kind and otherwise. It's never ending. It's not going to stop until something is done. But I mean, it's just the fact that it's business as usual for them as well is good news. I have two news stories. They're both very much expected to have happened. One is rather mundane, and the one is rather. Local and sad and depressing. I don't know if you want to go over those news stories real quick, but I don't know.
Sure, let's do that, and then there's a caller on the line, and we'll get to them.
Oh, I see that. Okay, okay. Let's start with the light one. This is, I first heard about this on Unity of Nobility. At the Starbucks annual shareholders meeting on Wednesday, CEO Howard Schultz sent a clear message to anyone who supports traditional marriage over gay marriage: we don't want your business. After saying Starbucks wants to, quote, embrace diversity of all kinds, end quote, he told a shareholder who supports traditional marriage that he should sell shares and invest in some other company. So that's right there.
Chick-fil-A. That's a good one. They support family values. They're a pro-Christian, you know,
right.
Organization there. Yeah, Chick-fil-A, that's who you should go support and buy stock in.
Yeah.
I'm obviously joking.
So, I mean, this is something you could bring up to if anyone out there runs in conservative circles where you work, who you live with. Tell this to them, especially if they do, you know, of the routine and is – include Starbucks, and they're supposedly Christians or traditionalists or what have you, and they're not as up to speed as you may be, please refer them to this little tidbit factoid that, it was released at May the 15th, 2013, so there's another one in the armament of evidence that we have against the world, so this Jewish world.
Yeah, actually, do you mind if I bring up a story that I was going to mention
sure.
briefly that kind of ties in? It's from Reuters.
Right.
Title: Shooting Death of Gay Man Rocks New York's Cradle of Gay Rights. So there was a gay guy who was shot in Greenwich Village, and apparently the guy had uttered something homophobic or whatever. It's a stupid story, but it makes national headlines. It's up on Drudge because a gay man was killed. Now, how many white families, white lovers, just white people, little white children have been killed, brutally murdered because of racial violence directly due to black hatred of white people, and we don't hear a peep from them. Mm-hmm. But one gay man gets killed. Oh, my God. Oh,
yep.
It's like the Shoah all over again.
Yeah, and they'll make a movie. They'll make stickers and T-shirts and merchandise. Anything, you know, it's anything to exploit to make merchandise. And that includes all the bands out there and everything. They just hop on anything that has a sad story or, I mean, It's just the madness never ends. It's just a testament to it.
Yeah, and that's one of these issues that they've really been using to get the Christians, conservatives, and other people that are in similar circles to our own riled up. And I think it's something of an irrelevant issue right now. It's obviously not very good what the gay agenda has been doing to our people, and it needs to be addressed. But yeah. I consider it something of a side issue right now.
Yeah, of course.
Especially with what I just mentioned, the amount of violence that is being done to our people. Now, and it's not usually being done by gay people. They're pretty ineffectual. Yes, they might use some kinds of state violence against us in order to accept their degeneracy, but it's just, I don't really care much about that issue, because it's just, it's one of these things that they're going to use time and again between the right and the left in order to get them debating of that and abortion and all these other things that, of course, I have a strong stance on, but I would much rather get out of power the criminal cabal that has stolen trillions from us and is inciting mass violence against us.
Right. Yeah, and then you start trying to list off the mass violence against us, and it's always like, what are you talking about? This country, you know, it's made for white, your privilege. You have nothing to complain about. It's like, well, it's all the food that they're shipping out, and white people, black people, Hispanic people, Asian people are eating it from the grocery, killing all of them slowly. So that's an issue that just binds us all together. I mean, and that's all owned by who knows who. It's unified, yet it's diversified enough to keep the populace not talking about the issues, not talking about the real problems. It's sickening how I remember back in the 2008 election how, you know, it's like, this guy believes in evolution, and, you know, we have Clinton and Obama. There's so much diversity, and we got to talk about the mundane issues. I mean, that's what really matters right now, and not the fact that we're in wars and the economy was tanking back then.
No, RT was promoting a big thing called Rank Out 2012 during the 2012 election cycle, you know, going towards for the presidency, basically to go against Rick Santorum. Absolute joke of a guy. But because he had come out against porn, again, controlled opposition right there, good example of it. The porn stars in Hollywood got together with the porn stars of RT and were promoting Wank Out 2012. I guess it's just a day of wanking in order to fight the political establishment as represented by Rick Santorum.
Rick Santorum? Wow. Wow, I'm about ready to quit now because that's just too unbelievable. Oh, Rick Santorum. What the hell?
What was the other story you had for us here?
Okay, well, here we go. This is the headline off of News 12, Long Island. Investigators say Andrea Ribello, student in Hofstra home invasion, was accidentally shot by police. And here's the first lines of the article. From Uniondale, Nassau County police say that Hofstra University student was fatally shot during an armed home invasion near campus, was struck by a bullet that was fired by police. Andrea Ribello, 21, was struck in the head as police attempted to subdue an armed robbery suspect who has been identified as 30-year-old Don Smith of Hempstead. Investigators held a news conference Saturday night to discuss the findings of their investigation. So, yeah, basically the officer shot her in to halt this Negroid robber. And by the way, let me just read off the statistics of the area real quick. According to Wikipedia's 2000 census thing on article, I mean, it's more than this, but this is what this says. Racial makeup of Uniondale is 26.97% white, 55.53% black, and this is Native American, Asian, whatever. But it's very black area over there, and it's near Freeport. It's near, you know, it's known to be a black area. So And not a big surprise there, but it's very sad compared to the mundane Starbucks BS and the RT circus over there in Siberia.
Yeah, well, let me bring up another RT story that I think it might be a year or two old, but I found it over at the site MindWeaponsAndRagnarok.com. I believe you're aware of that one.
Oh, yeah.
And it's titled Racist Whites Not Adopting Enough Black Babies. And it was a story done by RT, basically putting forth that white people are not adopting enough of these illegitimate, poor crack babies that you know, are being pushed out from all of these different mothers with no real love or responsibility for their kin. And we're expected to adopt them all. And if we don't, then we're racist. It's
right.
It's absolutely retarded. And RT's been pushing this kind of crap for a long, long time. They are one of the biggest anti-white networks around, and yet they put themselves forward as being such a great alternative to the U.S. mainstream media. It's just the same old crap with a different flavor.
See, this is what gets me pissed off above anything else. These truther idiots. They go to the site RT and it's like, I'm sophisticated. I read RT, and I would argue is just as bad as a moron that would say I'm sophisticated. I listen to CNN and not Fox. It's any variant sort of mind slave we have around this stupid country. But these truther people who just listen to RT and just like. I mean, I get my facts there, and it's so obviously biased. It's almost more so than I would say CNN at times. The headline there on the video cap. I'm looking at the article now. It's skin deep issues revealed in study finding black children last on list. No kidding, they're last on list on every culture's list ever. No one likes them. No, I mean, let's be honest here. They've been enslaved by Arabs and enslaved by. The Austronesians who came and took over a part of Madagascar, and that place isn't very African if you look at the genetics of that place. I mean, the Turks come. I mean, this list goes on. No one wants to care for them. No one wants to be in an area without their people. Look how this
it's not even their own
live
people.
In America. Look how, right. Oh yeah. You can. Kyle, you can go on GluTube and look up countless video counts of it's just black men looking at the camera saying how much they hate niggas. There's plentiful of accounts that are devoted to simply that.
Just the way that they always frame these issues, it's racist white people to blame for all these black babies who need homes. Oh, you never forget the mothers and responsibility they need to take. Just like that that woman, I'm sure you've seen the clip where she's got 12 children saying, somebody has got to be held accountable for my suffering. I've got to take care of all my 12 children. And they already had been paying for her house and her food and donating clothes. Oh, it's the sense of entitlement that many have right now that is just getting many people so fed up.
And Kyle, it's that coupled with the so-called the seemingly elitist attitude the people I just described have mixed with that those are the idiots being complacent with all this because they're being confused and their minds and opinions being warped by things that they trust so much, you know, they never and they also don't have a very inquisitive or objective mind. Not very intelligent, obviously, to be past this bullshit, which is honestly very easy nowadays. Back in the day, I don't know how easy it was, perhaps, because I was younger. But nowadays, I mean, there's no excuse. People are idiots. That's it. That's my amazing conclusion for tonight.
Yeah. Pretty soon, if they have their way, we'll have the United States of Detroit.
Oh yeah.
Right. That seems to be the agenda. Look at what they're actually pushing. Look at what they are overtly saying that they want to do. It's pretty much just that. It's disgusting. And we're supposed to go right along with it. Oh, just real quickly, I was going to tie in another story by a great media outlet that along with the RT story I mentioned before about the racist whites who aren't adopting enough black children. It was the Senkugyar, the Young Turks episode, where he was just going off and saying how racist the porn stars are, because RT and the Young Turks and all these other apparently alternative media outlets love push pornography. They think it's the most liberating thing ever. He was saying that the porn stars who don't who won't have sex with black guys on film, they're completely racist. They're the worst kind of filth.
Yeah. Well, what was the, it's so uncouth, and it's just so not noble at all. Everything they do. I mean, not even ideologically speaking. I mean, of course that goes for them, but the way they conduct themselves and the way their fans probably do on a daily basis is just it's inexcusable. It's disgraceful. And yeah, that's it. You're exactly right about that trend. That's been going on for a long time with them and. Not necessarily InfoWars, because they got to cater to the conservatives and be a little more neutral, but yeah. all the other ones are just totally like I can't even think of a word. They're just I don't know. But I think I've heard that story. Is the headline on the Young Turks video? Would you have sex with a racist? Is that it?
I think something like that.
Yeah.
Now, maybe not. He's put out so much anti-white content, including his praise of Quentin Tarantino's Django Unchained, and just how great it was just to see all that. Yeah, we just saw it before.
Yeah, it was the last show, the last Zeke Kyle show.
Right.
Man. Well, yeah. Yeah. This is historic. This is the second edition so far. We do have that caller still online, I believe.
Yeah, let's go to that.
All right.
Keeping a hold for too long here. 517, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hello, this is Alex from Michigan.
Hi, Alex.
Oh, nice, Alex. How's it going?
Hey, I'm doing all right. Just heard about you guys doing this impromptu show after listening to Truth Militia's show for the day, and decided to see what you guys were talking about. And you're absolutely right about this so-called alternative media. What they like to do is hook you in with trying to be trendy or whatever, trying to break the mold, as they try to put it. Like we're the Young Turks, you know, but we're not afraid to attack Obama's administration, you know. Unlike NBC, you know, we're at the forefront doing that. We're revolutionaries. It's just the same shit repackaged and shuffled around again. It's like fucking Taco Bell. They come out with a new menu item. It's just the same ingredients rearranged. That's all they're doing. I the Cenk Uygur, though, I just want to sock him in the face every time I see him on screen. He's the most, probably one of the most smug people I've seen on the internet.
Oh yeah, that's a good way to put it, man. Smug.
Jeez. And
smuggle over nothing.
The shows you guys do over here, they're definitely not in vain. There are people seeking these kind of shows and this kind of information. People are just looking for an outlet, and you're obviously, you know, shit out of luck if you're looking, you know, to the mainstream media or even like Alex Jones and shit, and people just kind of don't know where to look, but. You know, they're dying for this sort of thing. Like Truth Militia was on Blog TV for a while, and they're still on Blog TV. They were all over the front page and the most viewed and rated in their short time here. They weren't even there that long. They were already on the front page every week.
Yep. You know, our last Zeke Kyle show was actually featured in one of the sections as well. So they have featured us in the past, and I think that they aren't too happy with some of the successes people like us have had.
Right.
You know, the cutting edge type of material that Truth Militia is putting out, the very politically incorrect material, I don't think is welcome here.
No.
And the shows you guys do are very necessary. There's a reason why so many white people are flocking to things like Skyrim and Game of Thrones, and the death metal. And all that, it's just instinctual, and people wanna go back to that, and they don't want it taken, that last little vestige of what they have left, and what you guys do a good job here, especially you and Siegfried, on this aspect is getting us back in tune with our spiritual roots, which I recently, over the past few months, have been going through, and your shows have helped me quite a lot, especially you two, like I said.
Hey, Alex, I just want to explore something you said as to people are seeking this sort of information, this niche of ours we have. Let me ask you, because I know you personally somewhat, and would you be willing to answer this question?
Yes.
What do you consider yourself religiously?
I would say a spiritual atheist, and by atheist I don't believe in like the Judeo-Christian, you know, deity.
Right. Well, I think you could be a theist.
It's possible.
Right.
I'm just
right from that declaration there, you have a whole mass of people who would be not hostile towards you, and that would include a whole bunch of agnostics and atheists,
right,
and any sort of level-headed pagan that wasn't just a complete embarrassment to the rest of us. You know, and my belief is that those people are very, 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 very rare. But then, I mean, then you have all these Christians who are so intolerant, yet their whole worldview is supposed to be universalist and convert the world and save everybody. And it's just like, there's another network, is there, that is okay, I mean, at least is friendly to that. They're all Christian except for what, Truth Motion Us?
A lot of them are Christian. I'd say the vast majority of them, even the ones sort of along these lines, yeah.
Yep. See? See, Kyle? See what you've done?
Well, here's the thing. a lot of the leaders in the past, like Dr. William Pierce, he was not a Christian.
Oh, but Kyle, we got to talk about him, because he's like a heavyweight, and he's old, and he's dead, and if we don't bring him up, then the non-Christians will hate us, right? Like, I mean, that's just I'm going through what's going on in our group. Where you have to sort of cater and say you approve of this historical figure because it's said, but I mean, if you don't, then it's just like, I mean, not trying to deride William Luther Pierce at all. I'm saying that not only do some of our people have to smile and say, bless you, child, and pretend you're Christian, like many of our nobles have been for thousands of years, then they also, when talking to us, or more generally everybody else that isn't Christian, there's a lot of people, they have to cater and say, well, we like Revillo P. Oliver, and we like William Luther Pierce, and Dockey, and, you know, even despite the fact that they, you know, these people did not have a lot of good things to say about Christianity. So I want each side to cater to each other, but, you know, I think we're in the right. Be honest.
I think you made an interesting point there with the noble having to say bless you and go along with the whole charade, and
yep.
this is what Hitler had to do as well. But a lot of leaders today, if they are powerful, good leaders for our cause, are doing themselves. But you know what? I think maybe this is a mistake approach, and it might work for a little while, but if they were to instead have some real gumption, let's say, and testicular fortitude. And I know at certain times you just get killed if you weren't a Christian. If they were to actually be more out and in the open about what they really think, what they know to be true, then perhaps this would have inspired the masses or their kinsmen who weren't on the same level as them. And I think that oftentimes those rest of the people want to emulate their nobles and would easily and willingly start adopting some of these ancient ways. You know, I think that David Lane is a good example, because you see all of the people out there, you know, have 1488, and they might, a lot of them are Christians too.
Yeah.
And he was, You know, he came out against CI, against Christian, pretty much. He was openly a Wotanist and was doing all sorts of very complex gematria and numerology and doing all of this really esoteric work. And, you know, he was able to still be so incredibly successful. And perhaps his knowledge of those things is what enabled him to be that successful.
Maybe.
Yeah. Any thoughts on this, Alex?
I think a lot of people have reservations about people, you know, saying they're atheist or agnostic or Buddhist or a pagan, because what a lot of people see are these types of people in the media and on the internet, you know, 800 pounds, they're wearing fedoras, and they're the most pretentious, pompous cocksuckers on the planet.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are really, really snobby, and they, like, I studied poli-sci at this university, and I, and anthropology, and I, you stupid religious people, and that's been faces, too, and then they pitted them against the, you know, the crazy Judeo-Christians who are basically promoting the same things they are, but you know, but they're pitted against each other. So
we have pretty much evangelical atheists these days.
Yeah, we do.
Oh yeah,
they're all over the place. Yeah, and then they they get pitted against the Christians, even though they're both, you know, promoting cultural Marxism, et cetera, et cetera. It's just a charade. They sit there and argue over gay people all day. That's all they do.
Yeah.
And this passage in the Bible doesn't make sense. It contradicts this, and that's what they do all day.
Oh really? Yeah. Oh really? We haven't known that for fucking thousands of years, and you know. I mean, this is these battles and topics that we are into over here at Renegade are very old. Even the stuff that is seemingly mundane nowadays, like what Kyle's saying, it's a side issue, which I totally agree with. We can't discount the historic precedent and warping and use by the Jews. These issues have been made into, and just look at the outlets in which these are expressed, and these expressions warp the minds of said people, Alex, is incredible. Absolutely incredible. Because all this stuff is, I mean,
it's not for the faint of heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. At a certain point, you have to just recognize the game that's being played on you and realize that both sides are basically the same thing. Two sides of the same coin. And I think on the one hand, there's more media and propaganda and stuff being shoved down your throat than ever before, but on the other hand, there's so much coming to people at once that a lot of people are just getting sick of it and seeking out stuff like this.
Yeah,
right.
Well, it's such a joke. We have, you know, priests, rabbis coming out against homosexuality. Come on.
Oh, and
look at
I know there are more stories about the imams in Islam doing the same things lately. A lot of those stories out too.
Wow.
Yeah. That's the way you kind of become close to that Semitic God, it seems, is with young boys. It's cruel. A cruel, sacrificial religion in general. And yet, of course, these groups will always take their bad aspects and then project them onto all of the groups they want to disparage. Oh, those pagans do blood sacrifice. They're going to sacrifice animals. They have no understanding of what it means to be a pagan, where that term even came from, you know, and how it's encompassing all these different practices, just basically to disparage them. But the religion that does the blood sacrifices, it's right there in their book. Judeo-Christian God who's demanding people sacrifice their sons, sacrifice their animals. But you better not be like Cain and try to put plants up there instead of real living, real bleeding flesh. That's what he wants.
You know what you tell these people? You tell them the real people, the real ancestors of the people doing the blood sacrifices are crossing the border every day. Your government isn't doing anything to stop them. You know, their ancestors were sacrificing people on pyramids, ripping their hearts out. You're letting them across the border. You're letting them in the country.
And this is something. Now this is something that I think can not only wake people up, perhaps like the evangelical, educated, liberal weirdos. I'm talking like also within our intelligentsia here. Is that
right?
Okay, you reject and maybe even hate with burning passion the Abrahamic family of bullshit. I mean, do you or do you not? If they're waffling on it, they got to do a little more research, and that's about it. I mean, and we'll listen to a show, so read this or that. You know. But I mean, they have to just know the destruction, not even just on the cultural side, but all the people murdered in the past, all the people murdered today because people have been so softened into accepting all this stuff and just becoming softer and softer and softer over time. And that's not even counting all the consumer culture we have today. That's, I mean, even back in the 40s and 30s, the Germans are killing all those Belgian babies. We got to go over and to France and, you know, back up the French and the British.
Oh, God, the evil Nazis, Goldstein.
Oh, Goldstein's losing his gold.
God, what are we going to do?
It's the same thing with the babies in the incubators too. You know, they're always doing this kind of crap to get their way, is to make it look like their enemy is the ones who are doing these sick sacrifices of children, when they're the ones. They've always been the ones who are behind this. It is the Abrahamic religions. I'd say Christianity to a certain extent might try to take that out for some time. It's all very sick, and we can see that it's going to get us really nowhere if we continue onward with this type of approach and say that the world's problems will only be solved when we've turned to Yahweh.
Right. Oh, God.
And that's why networks these are important, because you do three big things. You formulate problem-solving and solutions. You put a lot of information out there, and you're getting people in touch with their spiritual roots. And those three things together are what I think people are looking for most. And you do it really well. Just like Mike Sledge's show, when he was talking about the history of the KKK and the Civil War, that's valuable information. And when you're sitting here strategizing, you can learn about ways of how to bring that up to people in conversation. Like someone's talking about, I saw the new Lincoln movie and this and X, Y, and Z happened. And then you can just not be combative and like, yeah, you know, what's funny about that period of history is that, you know, this and this actually happened and X, Y, and Z, and you plant seeds in people's head. And that's actually what I've had the most effect. That's what I've had the most effect with. Is doing that, and I've gotten a lot of people actually just doing that to see at least a good bit of what's going on.
You know, if you're actually going into those kinds of conversations and you know what you're talking about, you've got facts and figures, you know, dates and events, and you're listing them off, and you're there. Well, these people, for the most part, have forgotten anything about that time period because it was, just a chapter in their textbook in high school or something like that. So if you're going and doing that, they have really no other kind of source but to go to than the movies. And when you're putting in their mind that that needs to be discredited 100% and their history is completely false, then things can start to possibly make sense for them. You know, because I think inherently people are becoming very distrustful of what they're seeing on the news, what they're seeing on TV, but they still think of movies as kind of entertainment rather than consensus reality building, and that's really what it is.
But as soon as you bring up that sort of notion
it's conspiracy theory. Oh my god, stop with the conspiracy theory. I'm trying to relax here.
Yeah. You're right, Siegfried, and that's exactly why you just plant the little seeds. Like, you know what's funny is that this actually happened here. You know, you don't present it in an Alex Jones way, buy the water filter, I'll tell you the secrets. You know, you don't do that. You're just like, you know what's funny is this actually, you know, what happened in this year at this place, and this actually didn't happen that way, you know, according to this. Huh, isn't that interesting? And you let people go off, and then a week later they come back and they're like, holy shit. You know, I spent a while looking that up, you know, and you were right. That's happened to me more than a few times.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good way to go about it, which is kind of just giving them a little bit. Don't try to overwhelm them. Make it almost intriguing for them. Don't, you know, make it seem like you don't want to say too much. Oh, I've already said too much, you know. Just think about it. And then they will. A lot of them will. But when you're out there being evangelical, when you bullhorn, it's not going to have the same kind of effect.
Right.
And if television has taught us anything, people hate cliffhangers.
Yeah.
And they really do. They want to find out what happens. Well, what now? What next? And then eventually people, they see the problems, are going to want to look for a solution. And as of right now, we don't have, let's say, one organized solution, but there are many ways a person can get involved, and a lot more have been. They've been making videos. You know, they'll take some of the audio from these radio programs, make a video, they'll get it out there, and it reaches hundreds and thousands of people. And each person becomes a more active person in their real life, which it does involve the internet. But with all of these different networks that they have, personal and digital, we've been having, I'd have to say, an incredible effect. I'm just seeing the comments on news stories being brought to a whole new level of understanding of the real issues. And this has been done in a very short period of time to make people aware of the kind of reality of racial violence, the reality of mass immigration, the various political, geopolitical realities, and the corruption of one particular criminal cabal.
Right. And I think people have been a lot more effective in bringing this about, too. They're not doing shit like those controlled skinhead groups, you know, that run around. They're not doing stupid things like... you know, like Kokesh is trying to do to discredit gun owners by marching on DC with his guns. You know, he's not. People aren't doing. You guys aren't doing things like that. You're being very intelligent about how you go about it.
Well, thanks. Hopefully, we'll continue to live up to that. And that's what people should seek is an intelligent approach, one that is. Emotional, but also somewhat level-headed, calculated, and precise.
Yeah. You have to hook a lot of people in emotionally, and at least a little bit, and then put the other stuff on them.
Yeah, hey guys, you want to maybe listen to a little bit of audio here, come back, and wrap up this show?
Sure.
Want to get your opinion on... Well, this clip by Pastor Manning. I saw this out there on the internet, on YouTube. It said it was in response to Kai Muros' plan. And this was, of course, after I had my interview with Kai Muros. He doesn't actually mention Kai Muros in it. I'm not sure if that is the reason he's saying all of this. But it's incredibly interesting nonetheless. So with no further ado, here is Pastor James Manning.
Wants y'all out of America. And I'm going to tell you something, my friends. In not too many years from now, black people are going to be sent back to Africa, something that many say should have been done shortly after the Civil War, are going to send you and all other black people to either two places. You can stay here in the Western Hemisphere, and he's going to send you to Haiti, but he's going to round y'all up from South Central Los Angeles. He's going to round y'all up from the mega churches down in Dallas. He's going to round y'all up from the mega churches in Atlanta. He's going to round y'all up from New York, from Chicago, and he's going to send y'all back to Africa to be arrested. What that means is this. All black people are going to be arrested and going to be sent back to the West Coast or to the Sahara in Africa or sub-Sahara Africa, and there'll be nothing you can do about it. You'll have no constitution to call upon. No lawyer can defend you. There'll be no congressman, nor senator, nor judge that will hear your case. You run up, anybody can be arrested, picked up at any time, and sent to any country, and that is not for white people. It's for black people. They're going to send you back to Africa, and it'll solve America's economic problems. It'll solve America's crime problems. It will solve America's industrial problems. He's going to send you black people back to Africa. Now, you better hear me. You better hear me. You better hear what I have to say. You will be within the next 5 years on the west coast of Africa, meeting with your ancestors that sold you more than 300 years ago. You are going back to Africa, you black preacher, you black liars. You're going back to Africa, and Kenny Jenks is going too. You're going back to Africa, the son of Satan. Pray. Put on sackcloth and ashes. Pray. And ask God to forgive you. And then maybe you'll hear what I have to say. Maybe we can stay in America. Maybe. But the die is already cast. The deal is already in place. He's going to round all your black people up. He's going to round all of you up. You can run to the mountains and try to hide in the mountains if you can. And pray that your flight be not in winter. He'll give you money. And Bishop T.D. Jakes will be your president. And Al Sharpton will be the president. And Jackson and others will be presidents of various countries. But you're going back to Africa 5 years from now. South Central Los Angeles will be bereft and swept clean of all black people. Chicago, swept clean of black people. You're going back. He's the son of Satan. And I'm James David Madden. I'm the Lord.
All right, guys, what do you think?
Wow. Well, he's right. They're going to be going back to Africa in 10 years because they're going to completely recreate it here in America.
So you don't think that, well, whoever it is he's saying is going to do this, maybe the son of Satan, that he's going to be successful and we're going to be able to follow the plan that Kai Merlis discussed on my show and, well, have white countries once again?
Maybe. If we can get rid of the Mexicans, too.
Well, that's kind of even.
I ponder what Jared Taylor would think of such a thing.
No, it sounds like a brilliant plan to save all the white people. I support this 100%.
Well, Jared, I'm glad to hear that. It's good to have support for this kind of thing. Now, I just wanted to know, does this include Jews? Are they going to be part of this white country? Are they going to be sent back to, well, wait a second, they really don't have a homeland.
We should really think about giving the Jewish people a homeland. Oh, they're good white people, just like you and me.
Yeah, I see the difference.
Israel is just too multicultural to be called a Jewish homeland.
So
that is true. Yeah,
yeah, it is. You know what's funny though? Israel, I think, is being out there something of a scapegoat. That is where you will find a lot more of the more Aryan-looking Jews. You'll see, you'll find a lot of them in that country, and I think that some of the powerful, really powerful international Jews, they're not going to be in Israel when conflict with Syria starts really heating up. Hell no, the Jews that they have there, they really probably care as much about, although, you know, they care more about them than the goyim, but
I think that they've kind of created Israel just as a political tool and are not so much concerned with really having their little Jewish state. I think that they view the whole world as theirs.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, any
yeah,
thoughts
they,
on...
They've existed for as long as they have with the backing of whoever they're living off of. So, you know, they don't care about any particular piece of land so long as they have a host. You know, they could go just about anywhere. You know, they if they could get the freaking Chinese to build them like a huge freaking dome in Antarctica, they'd go there until they're done with it. They have no allegiance
right.
to any land anywhere.
Never.
Yeah.
Never
well, any thoughts about what could be unfolding in that area right now in terms of provocations, continued funding of terrorism in Syria, and most recently bombing of Damascus? I just saw a news article that it says that Syria might be targeting Tel Aviv if they're struck again. So I don't think the Iron Dome could hold back what could be unleashed upon them.
No, I just think they'll do whatever they can to get as much control in that region as possible because as far as they're concerned, Israel right now is solely theirs, whether or not you know they really care about it or not. So they might as well get as much as possible from the surrounding areas. I think it's just
right.
I think everything just boils down to that, and they've had a long history with the other people in that region, a very rough, combative history, and they just like to get rid of
yeah.
them and do whatever the hell they want with the areas surrounding them. You know, if they could take over Iran tomorrow and completely control it, they would.
Right. And now, yeah, they're exploiting, you're right, they're exploiting their age-old differences there, and they're galvanizing them for violence. And, I mean, this is basically, you're saying, like, this is basically the story of this century thus far. I mean, we in the West, tolerating all these wars, tolerating all the multiculturalism, and for what? Not the benefit of us whatsoever at all.
No.
But here's the really scary part, is that we have a whole bunch of members of our own race thinking that we're still privileged, everything's fine, just fucking idiots. So that's the culture war is here and needs to be here and needs to be fueled because they're not they got their stuff in place and it's never going to change. We just have to expose them for who they are, the degenerate losers that they are, and how much of degenerate losers they've made into the people we may actually love, and people will be in our families even. So we gotta shame these people into fueling the Hollywood bullshit, into swallowing all the media's lies, and that's really what it takes to wake up people. Because once they realize how much of a fool that they've been for years now, maybe they'll get angry enough to do something about it.
Yeah, and the not only do they hate us, but they rely on Western countries like the U.S. and all of Europe to act as their host, and they need to keep us on their leash, because if not, then they're pretty much fucked on all levels. They have so much invested in all this that if anything happens, well, they're probably completely fucked. I don't know if they'd be able to come back. They probably would be able to, maybe, but they just have so much invested in all of this that all their cards are pretty much on the table.
That's all or nothing. That's a very good point you're bringing up there, that their global society, their interconnected Jewish matrix, it has become, let's say, monolithic in some regards, but that's the reason why it's doomed to fail, perhaps, because it's so easy to take down. It is like that house of cards, and they put a lot into it. Maybe not everything, but once this goes, they'll have lost control of all of it, not just some of it, of all of it, because that's how they've structured it.
Yeah,
Right.
At least hopefully. I mean, I'm speaking somewhat optimistically here, but it makes sense.
Right, and honestly, where do they really have to go, like, after this anyway? Like, honestly, if America and Europe are gone, where are they going to go? They're trying to, will they try to convince the Chinese, the Japanese? They're not going to get all the, you know, the blacks and Mexicans to do anything for them, except for, you know, slave labor here.
Right.
Space. Where do they have
they're
to
gonna,
go?
They're gonna go off into onto the moon. Yeah.
You know, I actually had a plot idea for a movie where everybody wakes up to the Jewish issue and they flee the Earth in spaceships and they convince aliens that the evil people on Earth are trying to Holocaust them, so we have to fight off the aliens and convince them who the real enemies are.
Yeah, then they get the enemies to come attack the evil Nazis
you know,
on Earth.
The Nazis on Earth are trying to Holocaust us. They set up concentration camps on the moon. Oy vey.
And they their programming is never going to be disrupted. I mean, well, I don't want to say that, but I mean it's just so firmly in place. We have there's literally all these Jews on Long Island afraid of racism legitimately because of the bullshit stories out of Brooklyn and like, oh my God, the swastika on the synagogue today. And it's like, oh, the racism's alive and well. Oh, my God. And just, like, programming for them it just works so well. And these Uber Jews just don't give a fuck about them. And it's like, oh, we're all one tribe. They'll care about us. No, they don't care about you. Come on. Who are you kidding?
Yeah, you know what? They are a very divided people. They've been able to be unified in that they, as much as they dislike each other sometimes, they dislike the rest of us even more, it seems.
Oh, yeah.
But their own internal strife possibly makes it so that they're unable to really act against us in the ways that they would like. Because there are too many elites who are trying to have a say. It's just kind of like their democratic system over there in Israel. They have, what, 50 parties or something?
Do they? I've never researched that.
It's pretty complex in terms of what Israeli democracy really means, but it is still something of a theocracy because it's a Jewish state, the Jewish state of Israel. So what is it really? Is it a theocracy or a democracy?
You have Blumenthal's videos. He goes around and talks to the young Israelis. It's like, is this an ethno state? And they're like, yeah, it is. They just say it is,
and it's that's the big game that they're always playing. Oh, the Jews aren't a race; they're a religion. Oh no, they're not a religion. They're truly a race. Oh, they're Khazars. All this bullshit just really obfuscate the reality.
They're whatever is convenient to them at the moment. You know, religious persecution. Okay. We're a religion. Racism. We're an ethnic group. Whatever's convenient. We're a political bloc now. We're a political bloc now. You know.
Oh, God. Yeah, and then the sad scary part is that they really are and have been for a while, and that's something that could just blow the whole political scene, destroy it forever for a lot of these people. If you just tell them that, do you know at the 2012 election that both candidates were totally backed by Jewish interests, political lobbies, like Israeli lobbies. It's just sitting there, you don't have to say Jewish. You have to say Israeli. That's a foreign country.
But
you got to question their loyalties. You got to question their loyalties as a president if they're sworn in, if that's the case, you know?
But Siegfried, it's just the big business owners. They're
not
Jewish.
Yeah.
It's big business in the Bilderbergs. You know, it's those, it's those darn, gosh darn corporatists.
The 1%. It's the 1%.
Yeah, the 1%. That's what it is.
Well, I don't know what they're doing. That's the RT, truther line. There you go.
We're gonna march out there with a rainbow coalition and fight that 1% and those darn corporatist bastards.
Hey, you know what? What's some uplifting news is that RT actually put out a story recently about the rise of this far-right neo-Nazism all over Europe. And as things get worse, it just keeps on rising and rising. And, you know, it's a great thing. It's a great thing that's going on out there.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's my opinion. It's a great thing. But RT is obviously coming out in the commie perspective saying, oh no.
Even France is starting to realize, like, there's some shit going on here. I think they cut, like, tons and tons of their programs, or they're going to, because they're getting sick of it. Something like 80% or something, I've heard.
They removed the word race. I just saw the story today. The word race or racial from the framework. They just completely wiped it clean, and now they have ethnic replacing it. So they're dealing with ethnic things instead of racial. No. So that's the way that they're going to combat racism
or
in their countries.
Or in Britain, they're not Arabs or Muslims, they're Asians.
Yeah,
Asians. Yep. Yeah, good one, man. See, this is something I was. This is something I was just thinking about driving home from work one day. Is that, you know, when we say race isn't a social construct, this is obviously true in the natural sense. But when you talk about the way it's been framed in the census and has been used by the Jews in the in the academia in the 50s and 60s, in the poetry, in all the media bullshit they spout out, and with the real cold hard reality, you know, you get all these Hispanic people, you get these Asians lumped into one category. You say, oh, this campus is 3% Asian. That could mean Bengali. That can mean Vietnamese. That can mean Korean, Mongolian. A huge swath of people who don't even have the same religion, don't even have the same genetics, even close to it, and they're all Asians. They're all Asians. But, yeah, exactly. That's a great point, Alex.
They never break it up. They never break it up for white people either. They never say, oh, we've got 15% Germans, we've got 25% Irish, because then it wouldn't look like there's this big, huge chunk of white people always just crowding out the poor little other minorities that just wants to get a seat at the table.
Yeah, and white people.
That's exactly true.
And the funny thing about that is that white people have the least amount of racial identity or ethnic identity to begin with. So
And that's something I've been wanting to stress is that people should. I mean, if they are principally one ethnicity or half one ethnicity, it doesn't matter. But especially if you're full one ethnicity, you gotta get in touch with your community right now. Right now, not tomorrow, not right now. Have to let these people know. Look at our history. And if you don't know your people's history, you're Portuguese, you're Serbian, you're Russian, and you don't get it that your people have been fucked over by a Jewish system here or there, or more so than others, doesn't matter. You're in for a world of hurt. Your culture is gonna be gone.
And if you're
you don't
a
do
mix
so.
Of and if you're a mix of European ethnic groups like I am, you know, go to the, you know, start out going to the Ren fairs or something, you know. Look at Europe. Do that. Get into a broader history, of the area.
If you go back far enough, you do find the connected the group that connects them all, whether it's you're going to call it the Teutons or the Celts, you can trace back to these unified European cultures and languages where we came from.
If you can go back that far, then definitely do it.
Well, I think there's a lot to be learned from those people. And of course, you know, over time, we divided into different language groups and different kinds of states and cultures. But it all did come from a similar source, and we have similar values. Of course, there are going to be different flavors and regions, but I really like European diversity. And when we keep Europeans in Europe, or rather keep Europe European, then it's diversity is a great thing there. And brotherly love can be a very good, well, not the gay kind, but, you know, you get what I mean. It can be a very good thing to strive for. A peaceful society. And you know what? If we want to get rid of racism in our lands, let's get rid of the root problem there, which would be races. right? We wouldn't mm-hmm. even have the chance to be racist if we didn't have all these other races flooding into our land. So,
this is too logical. This is too logical of a point. I mean, oh my god, I gotta go to Starbucks, and then I gotta get home really quick because I'm gonna miss Game of Thrones and the zombie show.
Oh
my god, this is too logical. It's too PC. I can't handle it. Oh.
And a lot of people will tell you, oh, well, you just want to be an isolationist and, you know, keep everyone away.
Yeah.
And, you know, that doesn't mean, you know, you hate everybody. That still means, you know, you have economic dealings with people. You do business with other countries. You have tourism and stuff.
Yeah, Japan. Look at Japan. Japan's flourishing with their old ways. But, they're a different culture because they're just a little racist, but their culture is okay. Oh, my God, these South Africans, they want to live by themselves. Oh, my God, they're racist. These Australians are racist. Oh, these Germans are racist. Oh, the Greek.
No. Here's the thing with Japan. As much as they've been able to keep their people intact somewhat, they've allowed all sorts of other Western degeneracy to just
take
over their people and make them weak and
Their people are
dependent.
Aware of that, too. They're not completely silent about that. They're not completely unaware of that side. Oh, yeah. And this is, further goes to show you that this is a worldwide phenomenon. It's not just relegated to the streets of Detroit or the suburbs of Long Island or anything else or just Europe. I mean, it's worldwide, everybody, worldwide. So
you let the Jews in North Korea, You let the Jews in North Korea, they'd be crazy like us in a decade.
Oh, jeez. I hope we never see that. North Korea, poor people.
Yeah,
Kim Jong-un already hangs out with Dennis Rodman, so.
Yeah. Now they're going to bring in lots more. Playing basketball, the North Koreans against the 6'6" black men. It'll be an interesting game.
I'll tell you. Sometime, probably within the next few years, you're gonna see Kim Jong Un probably request like a circus or a performance or something like that. Modern Western entertainment into North Korea at some point, probably.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They'll have the North Koreans just sitting there trying to watch it. Make them watch it.
They want to emulate who they think is on top. And this is what I was touching upon earlier tonight. And if the people on top of a society, if the people leading a nation or a world order were to be exemplary, were to be having very high culture, could you bring all these other countries and people trying to emulate that, bring that into their own lands? I think that would actually be a great thing for everyone involved. I think that it's a damn shame that we haven't seen real good leadership in a long time, because when that happens, everyone else wants to step up to a higher level instead of being drugged down into the cesspool.
You mean Obama isn't Black Jesus?
Yeah, they were playing on that Messiah card or Messiah narrative right from 2008, and I knew it fit really nicely with the liberal mindset, liberal concerns. He'll be nice to the gays in the military. He'll be nice to the abortion wanters he won't do anything about the war. Oh, God forbid. You know, I remember being in high school and that whole election taking place, it was 2008, and I would bring up to Obama, back then, who loved Obama, and saying, well, he's going to continue the war in Afghanistan. How does that change? And then they had no answer for it, and then they just said, wow, I got to reconsider my political stances. And he was supposed to be the Messiah. I mean, and for many respects, he still is. I mean, he's still in office. So that goes to show you how complacent people are.
These social issues are just always going to be a big proxy that's just used.
You know, the whole gay stuff and all this new stuff coming up, the transgender issues and all these manufactured race issues and feminist issues. These are just proxies they always bring up. These things are obviously going to take hold just because the social fabric of the country just keeps changing in that direction day and day. There's no manufactured political force, Republican or Democrat, that's going to stop it from happening at all. So it's going to happen. The Democrats are just, let's have it happen sooner. The Republicans, let's push it back maybe a year. That's the game that's being played. But all this stuff is going to happen anyway. And then that's all they get people talking about. Like, Obama, he's friendly with us gays and us feminists. We're going to vote for him. And that's how they get the votes.
Now, they did play him as basically Black Jesus when he was running for office. But since getting into office, and probably around the beginnings of his career as well, they were giving him this kind of Lincoln comparison. And it's been especially strong in the past few years, over and over again, seen with a portrait of Lincoln, in front of the Lincoln Memorial. I think that they're trying to push him forward as basically the new Abe Lincoln. And when you see what's being done specifically to the South, though also in the North, with the open border on the border of Mexico there, it's absurd, and it's directly attacking the Southern people. And this is why you're seeing a rise in Southern thinking and in Southern people in many regards, too. And you see all this talk about secession as well, even though that is trolled. But it looks like they're trying to push us toward a civil conflict as to, further destroy our people. The thing that I consider here is that though Abraham Lincoln was successful in destroying the people of the South before, repeating itself with Abe Lincoln.
Oh yeah, I don't either.
He's not strong enough. He's not. It's a different time, and the people are against him. Even the Jews who put him in power are now just completely ridiculing him, as Mike brought up.
Oh yeah. And Kyle, this is something that people don't consider. And I've said this on my shows over and over again. White people, especially nowadays, are not connected. Black people more and more are probably looking into their history or a twisted version of it. this notion that Obama's going to occupy some sort of Abe Lincoln in history in respect to perhaps a hypothetical civil war erupting. I don't buy that. I mean, what will sooner or faster happen is like maybe he sparks such a thing and then some coup occurs and he's taken out of power. Because the military enlisted ranks, the officer ranks, I don't think they've wanted him as commander-in-chief for a long time. I mean,
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. So, right. So, that's a far-fetched idea. It's just, this is merely something they supply over and over into the mindstream to get people in that, not only in that attitude, but in that political attitude and action, so maybe they can build some evidence on them and maybe nab them from using their police.
I definitely think they're trying to stir something up or get something happening that they can control and spin in their favor. Like, look at the shit like Adam Kokesh is trying to do, march on D.C., get a bunch of people up in arms with their guns and march on D.C. And you get Alex Jones sitting there saying, this is going to be great. The government will back down they'll just arrest Kokesh, and then that'll be it. They'll get the message. I'm like, no, they're not. The media is going to say, look at all these crazy racist white gun nuts losing their mind. We're going to crack down on these gun owners even more. And that's that.
What if they assassinated Alex Jones?
Right.
They
don't want to kill me. I'll become stronger than ever. Cite the Star Wars line.
Now, okay.
And apparently, Adam Kokesh was arrested.
Yeah.
Just today, I guess. I don't know what's going to happen with that.
Boy, the martyr complex on him.
I don't know.
Well, you mentioned just a minute ago that the military doesn't really want to support Obama. They haven't liked him. Come on, do you think they would really want to take orders from Janet Napolitano?
Right, exactly. I mean, think of this on like on the military tradition level, the age old, like we had Old Hickory in this country. We had George Washington, okay? And this country alone, and then think of the history before that. We had Frederick II. We had Napoleon. We had these men. I mean, and even before that, you know, Alexander and Julius Caesar and Marcus Aurelius. We had real men, had some sort of leadership status, would actually be in the fight physically, were at times educated and very intelligent and could really raise their soldiers' spirits. They were connected with their soldiers. These people, not only are they racially divided from this creek, but they, I mean, ideologically, a lot of these soldiers are conservatives, especially, you know, white, black, doesn't matter. They're usually just conservative-minded people, you know. But to see, like, them, they not only do they have to continue to fight, which they many times don't want to do anymore, they're looking back at their country, coming back to their country, and it's just more and more getting more and more screwed up culturally, more and more screwed up economically. And so they're pissed off probably right now, more than we can even fathom.
Yeah, especially when they were sold on a war that was supposed to last a couple months, cost, you know, just a little bit of money. I forget how much the initial estimates, but it was really low.
Yeah.
And they've been put out, basically hung out to dry to do the dirty work for, many, many years now, getting basically very much underpaid as compared to all of the mercenaries that they hire. And not getting very good benefits when they come back at home, and they're all torn up physically and psychologically. It's the same thing that happened in Vietnam with them spraying Agent Orange on their own people. This makes people very much against those who put them into the position to fight or be severely traumatized for somebody else's war. And
even,
I think that they're getting fed up.
Even a lot of the actual soldiers fighting these so-called wars are disconnected from the actual warfare themselves. You get a lot of people who they'll get up in the helicopter, and you can see these videos on the internet. They're like, well, there's a group of them down there next to that truck. I'm just gonna click the button here and fire a few missiles at them, and they're all dead now. Or these people sitting behind the screen controlling the drones like they're playing Call of Duty. You know, I see a lot more of that. A lot of people are actually disconnected from the warfare because it's not a real, you know, nasty war like World War II or Vietnam, you know.
Well, that's why they want to put drones all over the United States, is because a lot of soldiers wouldn't want to fire on their own people.
Exactly.
Wouldn't want to fire on people in general if they're there
exactly.
in person.
Yeah.
When you're playing a video game, it's okay. And you could just operate those drones right out of Tel Aviv anyway.
Yeah, seriously, look, just you're absolutely right. Look at, you can see these videos all over the internet, people on drones and people in tanks or artillery firing from miles away, or especially the vehicle or the videos from the like the AC-130 planes or the attack helicopters. A lot of these videos, you'll just hear the people just talking to each other, like, yep, got a guy here. And there's a couple of them. I'm just gonna press the button. Oh, they're dead. All right, well, let's go get something to eat.
Right. When you're not actually getting somebody's blood on
there's just
right on your hands. What?
Yeah, there's no human element to it anymore, and I think that affects a lot of these people quite a bit too.
Yeah. Well, I think these need to go, and they're a scourge upon this earth. It's absolutely despicable what they're doing for paychecks. Mm-hmm. I think that the veterans who have seen action, who were there, say, in Fallujah, you know, who were who are doing some of the real dirty work over in these places, they're of a different mindset, of course. A lot of them have their problems. A lot of them turn to booze when they come back. You don't have a real effective outlet for their anger and their desire to actually serve their country and defend its people from the enemies, foreign and domestic, with a big emphasis on actually both of them there, foreign and domestic, the people who are who've really waged war against us here.
I've had a couple friends who came back from a couple of those big surges over there in Iraq when they were really doing the ground fighting, building to building. One came back from Fallujah, and they were pretty jaded and had PTSD, and they were all messed up from it. It really made them think, and I'm not seeing as much of that with a lot of people going in now.
Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting?
Go
ahead.
I was just going to say, I hear a lot of them actually talk about how you know, bored they were. Because you're sitting there guarding the septic tank at the base.
And the people who I think saw action over there, I think they actually get bored when they're back here. And people who have been in real combat situations, once they've been trained like that, it's almost like riding a bike. And that's what I think could happen in the event of real action taking place here, is that a lot of people who have been lying low for a while just because there was nothing really to do, they're going to be right there and springing up into action. And that's probably why, they're very worried and are planning to take away and are doing so the ammunition supplies and put drones all over our skies, because there are many trained and untrained people, civilians as they call us, who have guns, know how to use them, and are willing to do so. And I said this is often discounted. And you know, there are, of course, a lot of, you know, thugs out there with their weapons as well, but they don't know how to use them nearly as well as some of these, they call them hillbillies or rednecks. They know how to shoot. they are not, they're not accustomed to the city life.
Right.
A lot of
meanwhile, you get these, these blacks in the ghetto, like those, like the guy who did a drive-by at the Mother's Day event, you know, hit 19 people, you know, couldn't kill anybody. Like, really?
Yeah. Yeah, and that didn't get a whole lot of news coverage, did it? But
no,
one gay guy got shot in shot in Greenwich, and all.
Yeah. God. There were two more. There were two more, little white kids, little white babies, shot again. Not just that one, you know, incident in the stroller where the guy came up, but two more preceding that, and no news coverage, no justice for Trayvon.
Yeah, it's sick what our people are willing to put up with, but I think a lot of them just don't know. If they were to actually have their own kind of media to put out this kind of information, they would be absolutely enraged. People can be worked up into something of a tribalistic furor, and that's just what they do with the black people. That's been their media program for them. They just don't do that with white people unless it's about something completely irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah. Right, or they do they'll spark up these old medieval fantasy figures, you know, get the Tolkien epics out there, you get the Game of Thrones thing out there, you get the Viking show out there. They do that to satiate the mind, so they're just again, complacent about this stuff. Complacent. Because they're culturally fed. But they don't know that that culture is so empty and so Jewish, you know? It's so approved by the PC multi-cult BS, and they're not even aware of such.
Well, Who does Thor go after when he comes to Earth in the first Thor movie? Natalie Portman, the Hollywood Jewess.
Right. Yeah. So I think she's from around here, by the way. Something like that.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is that they put her in the Thor movie as the main love interest, and then now in the new one.
Yeah.
I just found that funny.
Yep. She's in a lot of these movies. She's actually from Jerusalem, so not Long Island. But, I mean, that's pretty close.
Where'd she go to
Thor
school? I think they let her into Harvard.
Yeah, they did.
Maybe.
Yeah, how pathetic. How pathetic that institution has become.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
One of the worst. One of the stent all of this crap.
Yeah, and she had her debut in The Professional with, you know, someone I thought was a Frenchman, but he was really like an Algerian, I don't know what he is, Jean Reno. Did you ever hear that movie? She was a little girl back then. He was like an assassin. She was like her sidekick, sort of.
Yeah, it was Leon.
Yeah.
The Professional.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, and Jean Reno is like Moroccan. He's not even really French. Spanish Moroccan, okay.
Right, and that's what they do a lot now. You know, like, oh, this is a Frenchman. Then comes later, you find out, nope, no, it's not. Or like Mexican, oh, they're Latinos or they're Spanish. I'm like,
Spanish,
no,
yeah.
They're. You turn on the Spanish channel, you see actual people from Spain. You walk around Southern California. Those are mestizos. Those are descendants of Aztecs and Mayans and shit. Those aren't Spanish people.
Right.
They try to do a lot of that. You
might appreciate this. I think they're coming out with this King Arthur movie. Maybe it already came out, but I was just looking up images for King Arthur and I saw this photo shoot, and it's a bunch of Aryan looking men in armor and everything. And then a black guy.
Yep.
So they're putting a black guy in with the crew of King Arthur.
Oh,
BBC had a Merlin show about Merlin when he was a young kid, and he, King Arthur was a young kid too, and they were, he was Arthur's servant at the court of Camelot and everything, and Guinevere was. They had Guinevere be this biracial woman, and she looked pretty black, and her brother and father were pretty black, obviously black of African descent, and no idea where they came from. they're just there to be politically correct, and her brother was one of the knights of Camelot. It's just so out of place. The random black Guinevere, the random black brother who's this knight, amongst all these very Anglo European people, no explanation.
I saw a Shakespeare in the Park of Hamlet where just a few characters were actors were playing all these different parts. The guy who played Claudius, Hamlet's usurping, was played by this big black man. And it actually it made a lot of sense in the story. It added a whole new element to it. It was very interesting.
Yeah, that story. It really is.
And the show Once Upon a Time, apparently Lancelot is a black guy. So, if there's anything that needs to be pure and not infested with this, it's the medieval stuff.
Right. Yeah, and they're going after that now. I remember, the 40s, back in the 50s, and 60s, that was tabbed back in, I believe Orson Welles did a production of Hamlet or something, and all black cast or something in, like, Harlem or something. Yeah, that was risky back then. Nowadays, it would be like, oh, great job, you're going to get a scholarship and everything for that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
They're trying to do Little Orphan Anne and Annie movie, all black cast.
Right, yeah.
A Midsummer's Night Dream in Ebonics.
No. Even Norse Scott Heimdall was black, so what can you do?
All right. Well, gentlemen, you want to wrap this one up? Yeah, anything else you want to get to? We've got just a 14 more minutes left. We could maybe take some calls.
Let's see. I'll put the number out into the chat room one more time.
All right. Well, 347-633-9657.
Day one.
Call.
I've infiltrated. Oh, sorry.
Oh, don't be sorry. You're good, yeah. Don't always remember that. Even though you're on the red team, I still like you.
Day one, I've infiltrated the evil Nazi death cult. They've accepted me as one of their own. Oy vey. I'm in for a big one.
I'll get a deal with Pendant Publishing for the book on this one. Oh my god. A&E will take the story. Oh, they'll make a nice episode out of it. Oh, yeah.
No, I wonder how many people who have cozied up to us over the years, how many of them are actually genuine. It's hard to say. You know, it really is.
Yes, it is.
Especially with the amount of troll callers we get sometimes. You know we're being monitored, so they're going to use different approaches to try to get some inside information.
Don't mind me. I'm just a paid troll from Amy's shit, you know, decided to call in.
Well, I wonder what that pay in, hydroponic Buddha or something. Is that what they pay over there? What kind of from that job, you think?
Well, they get American youths, not just youths as in, like, the socially acceptable term for black people. But they get American young people to... because they're desperate for jobs, to do trolling operations. Not all of it is real or, you know, fighting the Nazis, but they pay pretty well. And it's a decent gig that they have. Yeah, oh, people have put out their stories with these types of operations. They usually switch buildings and change names pretty frequently and just go from town to town sometimes. And set up big trolling operations, and it you know, for them, with their kind of money that, say, even they just get from the United States, this is Israel I'm talking about, think of how much they just, you know, put out there to pay people decent salaries to just sit online all day, and how many stupid American kids just be like, okay, it's a good deal.
Oh, yeah. If that's the case, then, it does make sense. I mean, that's probably exactly what's going on.
Oh, we've got a caller here. Let's see what this person has to say. Hello, caller. You're on the air. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
This is Maury.
Hi, Maury.
Maury, hello. Oh,
hello.
God, Maury. Get off the line. You're
so
breaking
racist.
My cover.
This is such a racist network. What are you guys doing?
Maury, you're breaking my cover. What are you doing?
I don't know. It's just, you guys are worse than Hitler. You know what you're talking. The things you're talking. Just stop it.
Oh, God. Boy. ADL, we've been compromised. I gotta go.
All right, well, Maury, thanks.
I'm just glad the show is almost over because you guys spew so much hate. So hateful.
Just couldn't help yourself, huh? Just got too upset about all the hate. You had to call in.
Well, yes, I was listening because I like to keep my ear to the ground on these sorts of things, you know, monitor you sorts of peoples.
Yeah.
And I was listening in, and I just couldn't take it anymore.
Oh, well, Maury Povich, everyone. Good to have you.
No, it's Maury Schnitzel. All right? You can
Schnitzel,
at least
huh?
get my name right.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You make me sad. So be it.
Oh, God, ADL, my cover's been blown. I'm aborting the mission.
All right, well, Maury, thanks for calling in. Anything else to add before you you go?
Yes. Lenders bagels are the best, but you got to get the right kind of lox, or it's not going to taste right when you chew it up in your mouth, okay? Now, I just want to say bye, but all of you guys at Renegade, you need to stop saying that we shouldn't be sucking the baby's penis, all right? We need to be able to mutilate and suck the baby cack. Otherwise, it's not. It's everything is unkosher. All right. So just you know, talk about some other people. You know, there's all sorts of things you could be talking about. Okay. You have a good night now.
Okay. Yeah, I'll try.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. You can go straight to heaven.
Yeah, Maury, everyone, going straight to heaven. See you in there,
CI. Oh, God. Maury, such a good guy. I mean, evil Jew. Yeah. I'm still undercover, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, okay, my Aryan brothers.
Frank Collins, everyone.
This ain't no Brother Schwagen. This is fucking bullshit over here.
Now they really were able to play some serious mind games on people. I mean, how could people who consider themselves to be Nazis not see? Come on,
right.
you gotta know. But come on, Frank Cohen, really? You all let him lead you? Ugh.
These Jew controlled skinhead groups.
That's embarrassing, man. Go ahead.
That stuff always those sorts of things always remind me of how ridiculous I thought it was the first time I watched American History X.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's embarrassing, but it's a mere blip on the radar when you consider that the fact that race has been dominated by a desert religion for thousands of years. I mean, that's even more of an embarrassment to me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right? So these things, I mean, it's good to discuss them, it's good to get them out there, but I mean, if we're comparing mindfucks, that's the ultimate one right there.
Well, you know what, Siegfried, you're absolutely right. We need to get under our rainbow banner coalition, you know, with our transgender, Muslim, African, Hispanic friends, and march down on the churches and you know, kick out Pat Robertson and all these other, you know, evil, racist, bigoted Christians, you know. That's how we're going to stop the world, right? That's right. But that's how we're going to stop all this
evil
in the world.
Someone get Coke. Someone get Adam Coke Pepsi Cash on the line.
Oh.
And get him to get that rally going. Rainbow Coalition out of RT, boys.
Boy, does that dude have a martyr complex on him? He wants to be a hero. He wants a statue to be a statue of him erected somewhere.
Cuba.
Man.
Yeah, he's gonna be in Cuba. Yeah, probably. Yeah.
You know, I saw this piece that was put out by the Canadian something or other, and it was about the rise in anti-Semitism, and they interviewed three people for it. One of them was Brother Nathaniel, the other was Alex Linder, and who is the other one? Oh, there was one more other person.
Jared Taylor. Oh.
No. Yeah, no, it was somebody else that they put out there. But they
was
all,
Scott Roberts?
It might have been, maybe. But the point is that they're always going to put out the most kind of ridiculous looking figures with the most kind of absurd inflammatory things to say to kind of make us all look like that's, you know, to paint us all with one broad brush. They like to try these tactics.
It's been their tactic for a while, and that's just the latest expression of it, yeah. But that was for Israelis, right? That was Israeli TV, right?
I think it was. Maybe we're thinking of something else, but
maybe. Yeah. That's
probably
putting
out a bunch of things right now.
Oh yeah.
But they didn't even refute any of the points that were being made. They just said, "Oh, and these are all evil, racist people," and they were putting out people that were. I mean, come on, Brother Nathaniel Kapner. He's not the most normal-looking gentleman. He's not even a Gentile man. He's a former Jew, Christian.
He's Jewish Santa.
Yeah. No. Well, yeah. Santa being the. Yeah. I don't know. It's all a crazy thing that's going on out there. But you know what? We've got something decent going here. We've got a infiltrator who's been on the line with us. Thank you for joining us tonight. Really good to have you here. And I'm talking to Siegfried, of course.
Oh, yeah. You're welcome.
Oh, you're welcome. I'll call in any time. Do some coffee talk in Long Island.
And it was Alex, right?
No. Hi.
Just want to make sure that we're right.
Yep. You are correct, sir.
Well, final thoughts. Let's do it real quickly, a couple minutes, and then go out with a little bit of music.
Fuck Ronald Reagan. Fuck Abe Lincoln. And what's the deal with arresting Francis Parker Yockey? What's the deal?
All right. Alex.
Well, I'm glad I finally got a chance to call into this network and on an impromptu show like this, and that I got to stay on the line and just say what was on my mind. You guys got a great thing going on here. So I hope you keep doing it. I'm going to keep listening, and I'll keep trying to get the word out there like I have been in my own way. It's
great.
Been
well,
pretty awesome.
Thanks. I appreciated your insight tonight. And thanks, everybody out there, for listening. Always appreciate you stopping by and tuning in. Check out all the other hosts here at Renegade. And I'm going to go out with the Rumjacks with My Time Again.
There we go.
Good night. Good night.
When he walked out of school, his mommy said there'd soon be one more hungry mouth to fill. He said the learning and the schooling weren't it bad for them that could. Though I could read and write my bloody name and sign it where I should. And he said if I had my time again, I know I'd be a learned man, an artisan in high demand, a doctor or a teacher. I should have guns and made a vibrant. I was born a working man, but live and die right where I stand if I had my time again. Where white I turned to Johnny Burney.